We're doing in Yaakov, we're on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, Tractate Shabbos, page Peichet, Tino Rabbanan. Tino Rabbanan is the intro to Braita, meaning when Moshe gave us the Torah, he gave us the written Torah and the oral Torah, right? And the oral Torah was broken down to Mishnah and Talmud, Mishnah being an outline of the laws, Talmud being the reasoning and the justification of contradictions between the different Mishnayot. We had Mishnah and Talmud, and that went on for over a millennium, from the days of Moshe to the period of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. So it's almost a millennium and a half. And the Jews were learning all of the Torah by heart. They knew it by heart. Those who knew it, knew it. The common folk were illiterate, but the learned people knew their stuff. So at the end of the Second Temple period, in the after the destruction of the Second Beit HaMikdash, and the tremendous Roman persecution, the revolt of Bar Kokhba, and the persecution and prohibition of learning Talmud and Mishnah, and the destruction of the academies, and the constant pursuit of those who were learned in Torah, the rabbis saw that they couldn't hold on to the oral tradition the way they had, because they didn't have the capacity to learn the way they had previously. If you were caught learning, you'd get killed. So you could learn by a rabbi. Five people could learn by a rabbi, but you couldn't find an academy with 500, 1,000 students. Torah became diminished. And so the rabbi said, we cannot master the oral tradition the way we had until now. We must write down at least some of the outline. And so what happens is, in the period of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the period of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and directly following that, they compile 600 orders of Mishnah, 600 Sedarim of Mishnah. And then, a century later, in the period of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, they compile Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, 6 orders of Mishnah, and they distill it. Now, you still have a lot of things that are left out. So the things that were originally part of the oral law and did not make it into the 600 orders of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, those are called Braita, from the word Bra. Bra means outside, right? Milagav means from within, Milabar means from without. Bar in Aramaic means outside. So Braita are the external Tanakh quotes. Those are the things that didn't make it to the Mishnah already in the days of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Then the things that made it into the Mishnah in the days of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, during that era, those things became Tosefta. Those are also not in the Mishnah. We have in the Mishnah 6 orders. Whatever did not make it into the 6 orders from the 600 orders of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel became aligned with the Mishnah. You look in the back of the Talmud, you can see a printing of the Tosefta. So if over here we have Tractate Sukkah. So in the back, we have a printing of the Tosefta on Sukkah. Here you go. Here's the Tosefta. This goes in the order of the Mishnah. It's Tanakh quotes that are aligned with the topic of the Mishnah. So that's the Tosefta. When the rabbis analyzed the Braitot, when they analyzed the Tanakh quotes that were not in the Mishnah, they saw that not always did we have an organized tradition on it. Sometimes it was not a reliable quote. So Rav Chiya, who was a contemporary of Rebbe's, and Rabbi Oshaya, who lived a little bit later, the two of them set up in their academies a system of putting together the Braitot, the Tanakh quotes that were reliable. Anything that got their seal, that it is a reliable Braita, that it is a good quote, begins with the word Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught. If it just says Tanya, we have a Braita, so then it's questionable. The Talmud will sometimes say that's a misquote. But if it says Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, that's an intro. Those two words introduce a Braita, a Tanakh quote, that was validated. That Rabbi Chiya or Rav Oshaya, one of their academies, had actually validated this is a very good quote. A Tanu Rabbanan Braita does not carry the weight of a Mishnah, but it's close. It's a high-level Braita. Mishnah, wow, that already had the seal of Rebbe in his court. So that has the most weight. But Tanu Rabbanan also has a lot of weight in Talmud and in Halacha. So the Braita tells us the following. Hane'elavim ve'einam olevim. People who are shamed. People who are spoken to disrespectfully. But they don't answer back disrespectfully. Shome'im cherpatam. They hear their shame. someone tells them something really nasty, ve'inam mishivim, and they don't answer. Osim me'ava, they do the mitzvos out of love of Hashem. That's a very hard thing, but there are people who reach that level. Vismechim beyisurim, and even when other people shame them, they're still happy. That's also a tough level, you see. So when a person has these traits, that even though he's shamed, he doesn't hit back, he doesn't shame the other person back, even though he's embarrassed, he doesn't answer, he does out of the love for Hashem, and he's happy in spite of this situation. Aleihem ha-ketuv omer, about such people, the pasuk says, ve'ohavav ketzet ha-shemesh b'gvurato. Those who love Hashem are like the sun. As it rises, the sun keeps getting stronger. Here in Israel, especially the last few days, you can see that. You wake up in the morning, you still need a coat. As the day goes on, the sun gets stronger, stronger and stronger, to the point where the coat becomes a nuisance. It's hot. So that's the description of those who love Hashem. Again, the description is those who love Hashem are those that don't feel the need to hit back. We're not saying it's prohibited to hit back. We're not saying you should always turn the other cheek. We are saying that there is value in a person who has such self-worth, who has such connection to Hashem, that even if someone puts him down, he doesn't have to embarrass the guy back. This has gradations, right? The halacha does say that if you see someone coming to smack you, smack him first. Right? There is a concept not only in murder, if someone's coming to kill you, hashkim dolgo, get up an hour earlier, kill him first. Meaning that's a concept in halacha, but there's also a concept of a bala zikecha. If someone's coming to harm you, he's coming with a baseball bat, so punch his eye out, you know. Don't wait for him to hit you. There is that concept too. It's a logical concept. To me, it's always interesting that I have to teach my kids this concept. Kids will very often stand there and get hit and wonder, what was I supposed to do? Because in their mind, hitting is wrong. But getting hit is also wrong. So sometimes you have to teach kids. Yes?
Why didn't David kill Saul?
That's a good question for next week in our Navi class. It's a good question. So here we're talking about a specific thing. That someone's shaming a person and he's not... He doesn't have to hit back. He doesn't have to answer back. And he continues to serve Hashem out of love. And even though it's not fun, he's happy. He moves on. But to my mind, that's a balanced person, right? That's the Rambam in his commentary on Mishnah. Rambam quotes the following story. They asked a certain philosopher, what's the happiest day of your life? So the philosopher says, the happiest day of my life was the day I was on a ship and I sat with all the peasants on the lower deck. And as I'm sitting with them on the lower deck, I suddenly feel myself getting wet on my head. I look up and there's one of the wealthy barons on the upper deck who needed to relieve himself and thought it was very funny to urinate on my head. So I look up and there is this fellow just urinating on me. And at that moment, Rambam, this is Rambam quotes this in his commentary on Mishnah.
He's quoting someone.
He didn't say it happened to him. Rambam writes about a philosopher, and he says, the philosopher said, at that moment that I had the serenity not to get upset, and even though he was doing something that theoretically was debasing me, but he was really debasing himself, he behaved like an animal. And I could uplift myself and not get upset at him. At that moment, that was the happiest moment of my life. When I could have this happen to me and not get upset. I had the self-control. Inner peace, inner serenity allows a person that even if others are trying to take away their value, person says, they didn't take away from my value. I have my worth and I have my connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and this didn't take away anything from me. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught. When we read Rabbi Yochanan, we have to discern between Rabbi Yochanan in the days of Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan in the days of Talmud. We are now reading Rabbi Yochanan in the days of Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan in the Talmudic era is one of the greatest weights in Halacha. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who compiled the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan says, "My dichtiv." Yes, sir. No, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is in the Mishnah. That's Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was a rabbi in the days of the Mishnah. My dichtiv, what does the verse mean when it says, Hashem yiten omer hamvasot tzavarav, explains Rabbi Yochanan, kol dibu v'dibu sheyatza mipi ha'gvura nechlak l'shivim neshonot. It says, Hashem said, Hashem yiten omer hamvasot, Hashem gives what message he wants to give, tzavarav, to a massive army. What does that mean? It means that whenever Hashem speaks, whenever Hashem said the Ten Commandments, so then the Ten Commandments came out and they split to 70 languages. As we will see, the nations heard the Ten Commandments. It says that when the Ten Commandments began, they got all nervous, they ran to Bilam the prophet and they said, "What's going on?" Bilam said, "God is giving Torah to his people, the Jewish people are receiving the Torah now." That's what's going on. So they asked Bilam, "And what is God saying?" So that he said, "Well," he said, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha." That was the first commandment. So they hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha. They said, "Okay, like every God says they're the God." Lo yelcha Elokim acherim al panai. Don't worship anyone else. Okay, every deity can say that. Lo taaseh lecha pesel. Don't make the forms of anything else. Okay, as it's going down the Ten Commandments, they're not impressed. Until it reaches Kabed es avicha v'esimecha, honor your parents, serve your father and your mother. He said, "What? Why does God care how I treat my parents?" This is something new. This is different than anything we've seen before. All religions are focused on how to serve the deity. Here, Hashem is saying, "I care how you live, how you treat your parents, how you treat someone else." That's something that was never on the planet before. And then the nation said, "Wow, Judaism is different." So according to this Gemara, the commandments came out in 70 languages. They could understand it. We will see. We will see other things that were also in 70 languages. We have to pause now for Arvit to be continued, Bezat Shem, next week.